Today I'll be presenting research regarding the effect of fire severity on soil organic matter composition and carbon mineralization. I'd first like to bring your attention to the range of fire severity in forests. On the left here is an example of a high fire severity wildfire where many of the trees will die and a lot of the understory and forest floor will be consumed, while on the left is an example of prescribed burn, burning at low fire severity, where many of the trees will survive and much of the understory will be left relatively unburned. Actually, most of the trees will die during a high severity burn. I think I said they would survive. And many of the effects of fires on soils is through the combustion and transformation of soil organic matter. Soil organic matter is composed of humic and non-humic substances. These substances are relatively difficult to extract from the soil. And so the classical definitions defines these based on their solubility in an alkaline extraction and then subsequent solubility when that extract is acidified. So that humic remains insoluble during an alkaline extract, humic acid precipitates when that solution is acidified, and then fulvic acid remains soluble. For this research, I also fractionated fulvic acid into a hydrophilic component and a hydrophobic component, which I'll explain later. These compounds exist on a range of carbon to oxygen ratios, so that fulvic acid has the highest oxygen content, part of that being, the majority of those being carboxylic groups, which increases its solubility in water and also in alkaline conditions. I should mention that some of these humified components and non-humified components behave similarly in solution, but so that lignin and wax behave similarly to human being insoluble in alkaline extract. But for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to call all the insoluble organic matter human in this talk, even that stuff in O-horizons. Fire converts organic matter into gaseous and particulate products, but the material remaining has a lower oxygen and hydrogen content, with the maximum product being the production of black carbon, which is the aromatic residue of biomass combustion, and it's usually thought to be composed of charcoal, soot, and graphite. Additionally, you can reduce the solubilities of these other components so that you can get humic formed from humic acid due to the reduction of oxygen-containing functional groups. Additionally, some researchers have found that low molecular weight organic acids have been found, or other water-soluble materials have been found after burning. So you can see that these definitions based upon solubility can be useful for examining soil organic matter composition that's being affected by fire. Just to reiterate, the biggest effect of fire on soil organic matter is going to be through combustion, and then there's going to be a component that will be left as a residue and or transformed in the soil, and the magnitude of each of the losses or transformation will be dependent upon fire severity. So with this research, I wanted to find out what are the long-term effects of carbon mineralization, of fire severity on carbon mineralization, and soil organic matter composition in O and mineral horizons. We hypothesized that at low severity, much of the material is left unburned, so not a lot of energy is released to create these altered materials, while at high severity, much of the material is combusted, thereby leaving less fire-altered organic matter in the soil. While at moderate fire severities, you sort of have you're going to lose some to combustion, but you're also releasing enough energy and leaving enough on site that you'll have the greatest pool of fire-altered materials left after those fires. And then with higher fire severity, we hypothesize that the material remaining will be more recalcitrant. So my objectives for the study were to create a range of fire severities to represent wildfire and prescribed burning conditions, and then determine the effect of those fires on soil organic matter composition and carbon mineralization, and then attempt to determine what the long-term effect of those fires were on soil organic matter composition. I conducted laboratory burns on cores assembled from a soil collected in eastern Washington and underneath the ponderosa pine, Douglas fir forest. I had O horizon and A horizon that were both air dried, and A horizon was reassembled to about 2 centimeters depth in the core, and then O horizon was reassembled to about 6 centimeters depth. I adjusted the fire severity by adjusting the moisture content and by the addition of a heat gun at the highest fire severity. These fires were ignited with the propane torch, allowed to burn to extinction and then cool down. I disassembled them into the O horizon, an A1 horizon, which was the 0 to 1 centimeter, and an A2 horizon, which was the 1 to 2 centimeters. I monitored temperature at the surface of the O, the surface of the A, and then at 2 centimeters into the A horizon with thermocouples attached to a data logger. Soil organic matter was fractionated using the classical scheme, where using 0.1 normal sodium hydroxide, and soil, humin, and humic acid were all analyzed on the CHN, and fulvic acid, the fulvic acid fraction was fractionated and purified of salts further by using a DAX8 column, where hydrophilic compounds would pass through, fulvic acid would adsorb, as well would the other hydrophobic compounds. When the column was eluted with 0.1 normal sodium hydroxide, fulvic acid would desorb, leaving behind the hydrophobic component. I analyzed fulvic acid on the CHN, hydrophilic components on a TOC-TN analyzer, and then determined the hydrophobic compounds by difference. Carbon mineralization was conducted over a 180-day experiment. CO2 was trapped in soda lime traps and then fit to this double exponential model, modeling a labile pool and a recalcitrant pool. And I performed the soil organic matter fraction before and after incubation to determine the effect of these burnings on the long-term, determine the long-term effect on soil organic matter composition. So here I'm showing the temperature profile for each of my burns, low, moderate, and high severity. Temperature on the y-axis, time on the x. For the surface, and then the orange is the surface of the A, and the dotted line being 2 centimeters into the A horizon. And you can see that the higher moisture content of the low fire severity has caused them to burn cooler and burn shorter, while the heated air from the heat gun and lower moisture contents cause the high fire severities to burn hotter, but also quicker than the moderate fire severity, which smoldered for a longer period of time, kind of creating this irregular pattern. This is the proportion of nitrogen combusted from the O horizon relative to proportion carbon. You can see that with higher fire severity, there's more nitrogen and more carbon being consumed, and there's a small enrichment of nitrogen relative to carbon with burning in that O horizon. This is the concentration of carbon in my A horizons, plus or minus the standard deviation. I did not find any statistical difference between any of the horizons or any of the treatments, so this suggests that any effect on soil organic matter composition will be due to transformations and not due to consumption. So to account for the loss of carbon in the O horizon, I've expressed carbon mineralization over 180 days as a amount of CO2 released per total soil carbon. And you can see that the unburned control decomposed at a much faster rate than the moderate and high, and at 180 days, the amount of CO2 released was significantly different from the moderate and high treatments, with the low treatment having an intermediate level. Now, these decomposition rates were negatively correlated with humin content and also with the carbon to hydrogen ratio of humic acid, suggesting that these fire altered materials are depressing the carbon mineralization rates. Now, this is each of these fractions normalized by the control, so that values above this zero line will be those things that are enriched in that horizon relative to the control, and those things below will be less than what is in the control. So pre-incubation, right after burning, the O horizon had more humin with increasing fire severity and less full of gas relative to the control. So the material is being made more recalcitrant. More of this recalcitrant material is being produced with higher fire severity. And after incubation, it basically kind of exacerbated these differences, but relatively kind of made them not a big difference. Still more humid and still a lower amount of humic acid. And this is partly due to the faster mineralization rates in those control and possibly a higher humification rate in those control, kind of exacerbating these differences. Now for the A horizon, again, we have a different story where these moderate and high treatments actually had a faster mineralization rate during the early portions of the study, so that at 8 days, the moderate and high were significantly, the CO2 released from the moderate and high severity levels were significantly different from the control and low, but by 180 days, these differences had disappeared. And this was partly due to a faster labile pool in the moderate and high relative to the control and low, but a slower recalcitrant pool. So over the long term, the control and low severity treatments were allowed to catch up. And you can see that pre-incubation, there was more hydrophobic components in that A1 horizon relative to the control as you increased in fire severity. And this was at the expense of some of the more recalcitrant material. So humin and fulvic acid at the high fire severity were lost at the expense of creating these hydrophobic compounds in that A1 horizon. But with incubation, these materials collapsed down onto, you know, pretty close to control levels, where the humic hydrophobic compounds were consumed, but human compounds were produced, bringing these levels down to control levels. So this suggests that the fact that the O horizon could potentially be affected, soil gadamer composition in the O horizon could be potentially affected in the long term, while A horizons aren't. This suggests that any effect on the total soil profile over the long term is going to be driven by effects on that O horizon and potential future inputs of the O horizon into the A. So getting back to my hypotheses, the first hypothesis seems to hold pretty well for the O horizons, that the higher fire severities consumed more material, but yet made more of it recalcitrant. So it seems to hold pretty well, but it didn't hold for the A horizon, and so for the severities that I was able to reach, the severities I was able to achieve, the higher fire severities created more labile material, which is different from what other people have seen. But I wasn't able to achieve a temperature, maximum average temperature greater than 243 degrees, but if I were able to, I may have been able to discover a different pathway where material, more recalcitrant material would be developed. So in conclusion, the fire severities I studied fairly represented what would be occurring in the O horizon understory of a prescribed burn in a ponderosa pine forest. It appears that O horizons are dramatically affected, and this depressed carbon mineralization rates. But over the long term, the fire effects are going to remain in that O horizon. While A horizon were affected by the burning, but they were able to come back to control levels with the recovery time during the mineralization study. Anyone have any questions? Hey, Dave.
I think you saw chemistry really cool. You really come up with all these different pools and compounds and those sorts of things. And so you got these shifts of, you know, human versus fluvic acid and fluvic acid. What does that ultimately mean to the ecosystem function?
Well, if you're moving stuff towards more labile forms, you're going to have a higher, you know, CO2 efflux from the soil, and some people have noted higher sea mineralization rates and higher CO2 efflux from soil after burning. Possibly could be leading to higher nitrogen mineralization rates that people have seen after burning. It seems like it. It seems like, I mean, if I'm going to give you a ballpark, I'd say it'd be gone within a year in the horizon. At these severities, these are, you know, you're not getting much higher than about 240 degrees in that A horizon, which is, you know, relatively low considering what's happening in the world.